So, Boko Haram. For people who don't know much about Nigeria's problem with insurgents in the Northeast, this is one group that has reigned terror on the country for close to 13 years. But what people call Boko Haram is actually at least three independent groups. Yes, it started as one association of radicals under the leadership of Muhammad Yusuf, who was killed by security forces back in 2009. But after his second-in-command Abubakar Shekau took over, grievances about his style led to members splitting up to form other terror groups. First, there was Ansaru in 2012. 4 years later, the Islamic State of West Africa province also broke away. So let's find out why all of this background is relevant to the resettlement of internally displaced people in Borno State. Welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Maryam Mustafa. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I am here with my colleagues Murtala Abdullahi and Kunle Adibajo.
Thank you, Maryam. Today, we'll be discussing why resettlement of displaced persons in Borno is currently safer due to the ideologies driving terrorism in the region and changing power dynamics between the groups. We'll also have a chat about whether such safety levels are actually sustainable, drawing insight from extremist trends in other countries.
So over the past months, the government of Borno State has shut down at least 6 IDP camps in the capital, Maiduguri. The inhabitants are being resettled outside town to housing sites and garrison towns in their original local government areas. The authorities say they are trying to address the problems of prostitution, drug abuse, early child marriage, thuggery, and so on that go on unchecked at these camps. They also complain that IDPs are getting too dependent on humanitarian aid for survival and that they need to return home where they can farm, fish, trade, and just be self-sufficient. This relocation program has been criticized because many of the communities outside of the state are still not safe and are within easy reach of terrorists. In fact, the resettlement plan was postponed under a previous administration for the same reason, but something has changed.
Yes, Maryam, something has changed and the Borno State government knows it. In May last year, Abubakar Shekau was killed. Until that time, Shekau had led the oldest faction of Boko Haram. Experts used to call this faction Jazz so as not to mix up the two groups. Shekau died after ISOP fighters launched an assault into his safe haven, Sambisa Forest. Now ISOP controls that area as well as a lot of Shekau's loyalists. Although some of them are resisting, especially in the Lake Chad Islands and the Madara Mountains area, while thousands have surrendered to Nigerian forces. What this development actually means is that today ISOP is more influential, has more control of areas and has more secure firepower.
Yes, but it is still not clear what all this has to do with the resettlement program pushed by the Borno State government. Our colleague Kunle Adibajo is here to connect the dots. Tell us, Kunle, what's the big picture here?
Thank you for having me, Miriam. What we need to pay attention to is the event of August 2016. When ISWAP separated from Jazz or Boko Haram. Like you mentioned earlier, there were grievances. One of the most important ones revolved around what is called Takfir. Takfir means to declare someone an unbeliever. It is derived from the word Kafara, which is also where Kufur comes from. Kufur means disbelief, and the Kafir is someone who disbelieves. Anyway, enough with the language lessons. In the circle of extremists, whether you fall within the category of a believer or disbeliever is everything, because it determines if you can be killed. For Shekau, there is only one reason a person has a right to live, that you are a member of his group Boko Haram or live within its caliphate as a subject, obeying all their rules. Anyone outside of this line is a disbeliever who deserves death. Anyone who lives outside Boko Haram's territory of influence, Muslim or non-Muslim, can be killed. Shekau also thinks people who play football, watch movies, or go to school can't seriously be considered Muslim, so he commands his men to kill without remorse. ISWAP does not like this. Of course, they think disbelievers should be killed as well, but not everyone Shekau labels a disbeliever is one in their own books. also they believe in giving people second chances or making sure to preach to them first. This means now that ISWAP has an upper hand, civilians living in areas where they have influence, especially if they identify as Muslims, are safer compared to people living close to Jah's territories.
That makes a lot of sense, but I'm sure people in this area will have to abide by ISWAP's rules and regulations. They will also need to pay taxes and levies if they are engaging in commercial activities in the area. But Kule, what are the potential risks for displaced persons getting resettled to these rural communities?
There are several, actually. One, the dynamics keep changing. So while ISWAP has the upper hand today, another more vicious group may take over in the coming months or years. Second, ISWAP is very loyal to the dictates of the Islamic State, which is ISIS. And so if ISIS's interpretation of Takfir changes tomorrow, it will trickle down and threaten lives in Nigeria. Also, we've seen examples of other groups affiliated with ISIS who very frequently target and kill civilians. For instance, the Islamic State in the Greater Sahara, ISGS, which is in the Niger Republic, Mali, and Burkina Faso. We also have the Allied Democratic Forces in the Democratic Republic of Congo and the Islamic State Khorasan province in Afghanistan. One of the triggers is even the taxation policy that you mentioned. In Niger, for instance, locals were getting fed up with the taxes, so they started revolting and killing ISGS tax collectors. In return, the terror group became more brutal and started slaughtering people in the hundreds.
I guess this means that we need to be cautious in Nigeria so that the situation does not degenerate to such levels. You know, especially since we've already seen instances of people running away from ISWAP territories because of these tactics. Thank you, Kule. We hope you will join us again some other time.
This is an episode of Human Angle Crisis Room. Thank you for listening. I am Maryam Mustafa. Join in next week for another episode. Members of our production team are Anthony Asemuta and Anita Eboigwe. The executive producer is Ahmed Salkida.